Hello everyone, thanks for coming out this morning, so early in the beginning of today. Today I'll be talking about, with the rest of my presenters, they'll be talking about information technology. I won't be talking about information technology exclusively, rather I'll be talking about how data will be used to inform the community and put things in perspective. We're supposed to do this disclosure statement. We didn't have any personal financial relationship, any commercial interest during the past 12 months. Okay, introduction. A 100 years ago, the top five leading cause of death was mostly acute illnesses. Top three, as you can see, are pneumonia, diarrhea, tuberculosis. Those are all infectious diseases. Fast forward 100 years, the top five leading causes of death are chronic illnesses such as heart disease, stroke, and actually seventh on the list is diabetes. What it means is that in the past, all the power and the control and healthcare actually lie with doctors and healthcare workers, and which was very effective for in treating acute illnesses. But come to present day, when it comes to chronic illnesses, you have to inform the public, because these are preventable illnesses where you have to inform the public and educate them and do your best in trying to prevent these illnesses. So there is a change in paradigm from healthcare workers to now individuals. Now you have to empower the community by informing them. Okay, background on this presentation. I'm from New York City, and there are about 8 million residents in New York City, of which 12% are Asians. There are 200,000 Koreans and 650,000 Chinese are estimated to reside in New York City. And it is estimated that 40% of this population is of limited English proficiency, which means that there is a significant amount of language barrier and a cultural barrier in accessing healthcare and health information. And for the purpose of this study, we studied these minority groups in terms of diabetes prevalence and diabetes the care and education. Background-wise, it is found out over the years that there is a high diabetes prevalence in Asians. It is said that they are twice as likely to develop diabetes as whites. When adjusted for BMI, Asians are 60% more likely to develop diabetes than non-Hispanic whites. So, objective of this study was to assess the current knowledge, attitude, and behaviors towards diabetes prevention amongst Korean Americans and Chinese Americans in New York City to, in the future, inform the public and how to decide how to develop intervention strategies. The method-wise, we had diabetes screening in our partner networks, mostly senior centers. We held six screening sessions, and they were combined with survey questionnaires asking the demographic information, and they were all self-respond. Knowledge and attitude behavior questions were asked as well, in conjunction with their fasting glucose level, blood pressure, and total cholesterol level was screened as well. Demographic information-wise, we found out that there were 49% male and 50% female, so they're about equally half and half. And 36.7% were without any insurance, 11.6% of them are obese, and 27.3% were overweight. 15.4% were diabetic, and 85.6% were non-diabetic. I just picked out the most interesting questions in terms of what we found. Otherwise, we'll have to list all the findings. One of the knowledge-based questions that we found interesting was, Asian Americans are at higher risk for diabetes when compared to white Americans. It was found out that less than 10% of either diabetic or non-diabetic participants answered yes to this question, and most of them either said no or not sure. And when they're asked what it means, what A1C measures, or what A1C is, less than, I believe, 4% overall said they knew what A1C was. It's an overall 3 months measure of your blood glucose level. And when they're asked, in terms of knowledge question, is diabetes curable, which it isn't, it's a chronic illness. It has to be maintained and treated. A lot of the non-diabetics, over 40% of them, answered, yes, it is curable. And I believe less than 30% of the diabetics have answered it's not curable. Less than 30% of them said yes, it's curable. In terms of diabetes behavior, we asked, last week I have exercised for 3 days for at least 20 minutes each. Diabetics have answered, a lot more diabetics answer yes to this question than non-diabetics. And in terms of their nutritional behavior, last week I have consumed as much foods low in saturated fat as possible. There were more diabetics who answered yes to this question than non-diabetics. In terms of attitude and belief towards diabetes, we asked the question, diabetic persons' behaviors are more effective in treating diabetes than treatment through doctors and nurses alone. Diabetics have said yes to this answer more than non-diabetics. And we are guessing that from the anecdotal evidence, we're assuming that the diabetics, when they actually talk to their doctors and nurses, it has been said that they're not getting enough information, or they're not getting in-language information, as in Korean or Chinese, in terms of how to treat or maintain their diabetes. Next question, in terms of diabetes attitude and belief, we asked a question saying, complications will strike eventually, so it is pointless in trying to control your blood sugar. Surprisingly, there are more diabetics who said yes to this question than non-diabetics. It might indicate that there's a fatalism with diabetics, and you have to understand that culturally, in Asian cultures, it is still believed that diabetes is kind of a hopeless disease, and there's that pervasive air of a hopelessness about it. So because of this cultural reason, we're assuming that diabetics are answering yes to this question. In conclusion, we want to say that we found out that overall, very few Asian American participants knew what A1C measure or what it meant. Even though there was a 36.7 of them without insurance, but once they were diagnosed with diabetes, they still, even though they were talking to doctors at least once a year, they still had no idea what A1C meant. Next, very few participants knew diabetes is more prevalent in Asian Americans than whites, which it has been found to be true over many researches, and they still don't know this. Next, diabetic participants had more general knowledge of diabetes than non-diabetic participants. This data are not listed for the interest of time, but diabetic participants, in terms of what insulin does and what increases blood sugar level, they knew them better than non-diabetic participants. And diabetic participants showed more self-efficacy in practicing diabetes preventable behaviors, non-diabetic participants, such as exercising, as you've seen before, and nutritional behaviors. However, we found out that also diabetic participants, in Asian communities at least, showed more fatalistic attitude towards diabetes treatment and blood sugar maintenance than non-diabetic participants. So future directions and for discussion, more in cultural culturally competent information has to be collected so that we can inform these minority population more effectively and we can address their concerns. So in the future, more detailed survey questionnaire and data gathering on nutrition will be necessary. This is a bearable project to be asking these separate nutritional categories and trying to discern what they're eating is very difficult, but that is necessary to pinpoint what their behavior is, how their behavior is different. And next is development of diabetes intervention education sessions and implementation based on these data that we collect. The next will be to measure pre- and post-test effects of diabetes education on diabetes knowledge, attitude, and behavior after intervention and education sessions. That's it for my presentation.